Hello, people. This is Eric Johnson, the brand.
And Aaron Thigpen, the source. Today's subject, you guys, handling failure. Handling failure in sports is quite an intriguing concept. You're talking about handling failure in competition. How do you handle losing? How do you handle injuries? How do you handle lots of the trials and tribulations of being an athlete? And I think this is something that's really important in baseball because statistically, failure is ever present in anything you do. I mean, just looking at the numbers,
right.
You know, if you go 1-for-3, well, that's actually not a bad day.
That's a great day, Aaron.
So how do we get our athletes to understand this concept and how to put it in perspective so that it doesn't spiral out of control, hinder their performance, and all the other negative things that seem to happen? So I'll let you kind of give me your initial thoughts on that first, EJ. We're kind of just flying on this, but I think it's something we should talk about.
It's a great subject. I think I always go back to this mentality of one is that everybody gets a trophy and everybody wins, and when that happens, then you see, you know, like a player gets a hit, a nice clean base hit, and it's really a hit, and then the player hits the ball and the fielder kind of muffs it and the scorekeeper goes, oh, he's a nice kid, I want to see him do all right, so let's give him a hit. So that mentality is, there's always, you know, like, hey, it's always good. It's always good. Right. And then when something bad happens, players don't know how to handle it. Now, it starts at an early age. So I'm going to the root of the problem.
Yeah.
This is like when the kids first start playing at 5 and 6, then 7 and 8,
right.
9 and 10. And they've had all this success because I want my player to have success in order for them to move on. And when the player hits adversity or failure, at that age, whether it's 9, 10, 11, whatever that case is, where stats and clean base hits are evaluated and the player's not given a hit, then all of a sudden it's looked or frowned upon that it's bad. And we put numbers to what's good and what's bad.
Right.
And so if players aren't hitting this at an early age, like he's not hitting 500 in Little League, or right. he's playing travel ball and he didn't have a good weekend,
right.
then it's like a bad thing. And how you and I always look at these things, or these are ways or opportunities for us to grow as an athlete, rather than say it's a failure.
Right.
And how do we deal with it? We grow and get better, take account of what we're doing. So that's kind of like the root of it, Aaron. For me, it starts there.
I think that, you know, for me, how we combat this, or how we as coaches and parents approach it, is obviously we first want the kids to have fun,
right?
And we got to really impress that upon them, and we want them to really, I think, just enjoy competition. You know,
right.
And I think if they learn to enjoy competition, it's not always going to be results based. Because for me, again, I always have to refer back to my own athletic career, but in track and field, really you either win or you lose. Yeah, they
right.
give you a place, they, you know, second, third, whatever, it doesn't matter. But basically, you're really winning and losing. So you've got to have, I think, a different perspective. And so the perspective I had, and I don't know if it was taught to me or just kind of my own makeup and how I see the world, was I didn't win, but damn, I was competitive in that race. And competitive might mean second place.
Right.
It might mean sixth place.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be also through the lens of, well, what competition level was I at? And maybe, you know, what I'm thinking about, maybe it was because I always had to race up.
Gotcha.
So I never really got to race my peers. I was better than my peers, so I always had to race kids that were older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So winning really wasn't going to be the end result of most of my competitions.
Right.
But if I could play second or third or fourth against athletes who were bigger, stronger, and older, I was fine with that because that was the perspective that I had. It's like, look, physically you can't outmatch these guys, so you're probably not going to win. So where do I find the win? And I think that's a key, is teaching kids where to find the win.
Right.
Now, you know, again, how do you do that? Maybe it's through giving them more information. Maybe it's through giving a perspective. For instance, I'd have kids who wouldn't win a race, and I'd say, well, hey, you know what, dude? This guy was already 2 years older than you. You weren't going to beat him anyway. But look at how close you were to him. Mm-hmm. Or you ran your best time against this type of competition. So I think if we can quantify, you know, in baseball, you know what? You went 0 for 3, but damn, those are three hard shots.
Right.
You know.
Hard hit balls, right?
Hard hit balls. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They just didn't get through the gap.
Right.
So you did what you were supposed to do, and you executed the way you were. Chips just didn't fall your way. That's sports. That's, you know, it happens that way. And I think if we give kids that kind of perspective and that kind of lens to look through, then what might seem to be a failure statistically really isn't a failure. And they understand that. And they also understand, hey, I did well. Things just didn't fall my way.
Right.
And I'm going to continue doing what I'm going to do. I'm not going to get down on myself.
Right.
And so you're kind of giving them a way to quantify performance. And I think that's more important. If an athlete learns to quantify performance, then they can truly see if it's a success or failure. Because they can also see if it's that padded success.
Right.
Well, hey, you know, this kid was throwing slop. Anyone could hit this guy.
Right.
Yeah, of course I'm going 5 for 5.
Right.
I'm not going to get all pumped up about that.
Right.
And so I think this has to be driven from the parents and the coaches. Because I'll see on these Little League sites,
right,
oh, you know, my kid, he's looking for a team. He can't find one, but he just went, you know, he just hit 500 in the last tournament. You know, the kid's 8 years old.
I know. I mean, I hope you hit 500 when you're 8, you know. I mean, the defense is not very good.
Right, exactly.
And here's off the tee.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, the parents put these stats up there, and he's like, yeah, you know, he hit this in the park home run, and da-da-da. It's like, let's quantify that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
8 years old, they're not fielding that well. They're not throwing that well. You know, so the likelihood of some of those things is a little, the probability of some of those numbers being higher is greater. And there's nothing wrong with telling that to your kid. I don't think that dashes, you know, their confidence. Mm-hmm. It just gives them a level of perspective and say, hey, okay, if your kid's a gamer, he should be like, hey, I'm going to try and do this all the time then. If this is the level I'm at.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, I think, my approach on it and maybe how you should really look at handling failure.
You know, I love what you said about enjoy the competition.
Yeah.
Because I don't see enough of that anymore. Enjoying the experience, the competition, the ability to get out with your peers, compete, and get fired up for just that.
Yes.
And not so much result-oriented.
Yeah.
And that whole thing of putting your socks and shoes on, your uniform, and the way you wear your hat or packing your bag, and that whole experience to me was part of the ritual.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's not talked about a lot anymore, about the ritual and the progression of competition, leading up to competition, and you get this massive adrenaline flow, and it just puts you in this euphoric state that drives you as an athlete. And then you reevaluate it, but you want to do it because of the progression of that and how you frame it. And what you said that parents can do to help facilitate that is to frame it correctly.
Yeah.
So there is that kind of goal rather than a number or quantitative data that seems to be getting in the way a lot of times of people's development as a person and as an athlete. And their needs, that needs to be there for these young players. And that's how you deal with failure, is how you frame it. Like you said, and you said so many things that are crucial. Framing it is so, so important.
Right.
So, you know, Aaron, it marvels at me. We've been in this for a long time, been doing this a long time. And I look at the competitive spirit of the player, whether it's in training And we call it training at the beginning of practice. We don't call it a warm-up. Training to progressions of that training, and you're doing certain drills, then the scrimmage and hitting. All of that is a competition in practice that needs to be competitive in practice. So when you get into this game environment, you know how to compete. And I think that's lost a lot of times in translation. And the parents can help the athlete, because us coaches, we want our players to compete all the time in practice, because that's how we get them ready for the game. Yeah. And I think if parents can help players understand the importance of practice and how it relates to the game, then we understand how failure can be handled better, rather than just say, hey, you know. And it goes back to the same thing, framing that progression of their development.
So parents, just to recap, failure is how you frame it. Have your kids relish competition. Relish the process. And I think you'll have an athlete who's centered, who has the right perspective, and will enjoy his time being an athlete.
All right, people. Hey, this ends our podcast. Glad you could join us. Please tune in to us on a weekly basis. Hit us up on our Instagram page, Harbaugh Athletics. Hit us up on Facebook, LinkedIn. What other streams are we in now, Aaron, also?
Stay tuned for Facebook Live series. We're going to start to do a Facebook Live series. Hopefully we'll do that at least once a month. We want your participation. It'll be a forum where you guys can ask us questions, kind of just free-forming the whole thing, riffing for about 30 minutes or so, and hope you guys will enjoy it. We'd love to hear your input, because these podcasts are for you. We're trying to give you the information that you want, not what we think you want. But for now,
hey, it's EJ, Coach EJ, Eric Johnson, the brand.
Coach Aaron Thigpen, the source. See you.